entertaining talk radio broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. This is the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears. And the goddamn place to goddamn be. I wonder how many times I've actually said that. Well, thank you for tuning in. Thanks for downloading this and subscribing. I really appreciate it. Very nice. I also appreciate those of you who take care of our sponsor, ICU2. That's ICU2.com. It's ICU2.com. Download it today. It's free to try. Honestly, it could get you a fine piece of vagina. Or penis, whatever you're into. Are you into both? You might be able to pull it off. I don't know. ICU, the number 2.com. Welcome to the show, guys. Ladies, people. I'm doing something a little different. I don't want to stagnate too much on the show. Do the same goddamn thing. I mean, we already have been playing Rammstein since, I don't know, what, 2004 at this point? Well, when did we start this fucking thing? It's got to be late 2004. But we've stayed true with that. You know, at a certain point, you need to try something a little bit different. And I've never really done a show by myself without streaming it to an audience. Now, I'm gonna hold the same standards for myself with this. I'm not going to edit anything. I'm not going to just redo it and try to get, you know, a better take, I guess. I'm just going to record whatever this is and put it out there. I mean, it honestly can't be any goddamn worse than some of the shit that I put out there, 319 other times. I believe this is episode 320. All those episodes and maybe, I don't know, 5 interesting things said. 5 noteworthy things done and recounted on this fucking podcast. So I decided to do something a little different. Decided to just to see what it's like to do a show with just you recording into a microphone, nobody throwing text back at you, just me, my fucking thoughts, and some bullshit to talk about. Things that I've done. Usually there's nothing. I mean, a week-to-week basis, the topic list is usually the same. What did you do? Oh, you worked? You almost cleaned out all the fucking dishes from the sink? Oh, you almost mustered up the courage to wash last night's fucking grill pan? Wow, what an exciting fucking life that demands chronicling on a fucking podcast. Did you finally plunged the fucking bathtub? You decided it was time to not have a fucking mid-calf amount of water by the time you're done with the shower. Great, you're a brave man. Thanks for sharing your life. But no, sometimes we do things. Sometimes, you know, we break the pattern and we go out. And a while back, Amanda purchased comedy tickets. And I purchased comedy tickets as well. But I guess we didn't really realize until like a day after we bought them that they were the same fucking weekend. Back to back. Friday, Saturday. I bought Bill Burr tickets at Carnegie Hall, which was at a Friday night. I think 11:11. And she bought Louis C.K. So we had a back-to-back day of comedy. The New York Comedy Festival, very enjoyable. Friday night, just a just a fucking, honestly, nerve-wracking at first. Very nerve-wracking because I don't have a job that is extremely flexible at this point. Oh, they're flexible. I can go in early and, you know, leave early by virtue of having been there earlier than usual. But my last job, I could just say, yeah, you know, I'm going to be leaving at, I don't know, 3. And some days I got there at 10:30. And God bless them. They were a little bit lax in filling out the vacation time. So situations like that worked to my benefit every now and goddamn then. But I'm new at this new job. I'm under a year there. I don't want to try and, you know, fuck around or make excuses or take off too much fucking time. I put in a lot of hours, I think. I worked pretty goddamn hard, picking it up, learning things, doing what I think is a decent job. I'll probably go in Monday, and they'll tell me, hey, Ken, you know, shut the door behind you and just fucking lay into me. Throw a stack of paper on the fucking desks. Because it'll be plural, because this will happen in two managers' offices. They'll fucking just berate me. What do you think you're doing? Like, honestly, did you think you'd pick this shit up? Did you think you'd learn it? Are you working to the level that you assured us that you would work to by this point? At this point, surely, I thought you would have been doing a lot better. But no, I'm really trying. Shut the fuck up, Ken! Shut up! And that's Monday. But today is Tuesday, so I've got a few more days of floundering around and generally doing okay. But I couldn't just leave like I used to at my old job. I couldn't just fucking say, hey, guys, listen, I got this thing. Okay, well, we'll see you. So I had to go in early. I went in at 7 a.m., 7 a.m., I practically broke my face on the fucking door because it's usually just unlocked. I get there, it's unlocked. You push it, you walk into it, whatever. It responds, it opens. It didn't open. I actually had to use the key fob they gave me. I haven't had to use that yet. 7 a.m. I get in there and a couple of my coworkers are there working very quietly. Working very quietly. I'm sure they're working very hard. It's fucking 7 a.m. Everybody, you know, no eyes over their shoulders. Anyway, so I get there, I leave. I'm thinking, okay. You know, I talked to Sean. Sean's gone with us. We had a ticket for him, so it's Shawnee Murphy, Amanda, and myself. We're gonna leave by 5. Okay, cut it close. 5, the doors open at 6:30. Going right into the belly of the goddamn beast. The last time I drove in to the city for a comedy event was when I hung out with Jeff and Veal Chop to see the Adam Carolla podcast. And I was almost goddamn late, and I left at fucking 4 o'clock. Somehow, Sean's calculation is 5. He says 5. We'll get there. We're taking the path. We'll be good. I'm skeptical. And I'm actually nervous. I don't think we're going to do it. Look at the back of the tickets. It's just fucking haunting me. Non-refundable. Late comers subject to management decision. They'll do whatever they want with you if you show up late. And late is 1 minute. The show starts at 7:30. Oh, look, it's 7:31. You're going to have to leave. Management decision. Because I don't know if you've ever dealt with management. The fuck? Tokyo Drift outside my fucking house. Somebody on a goddamn fucking Japanese motorbike doing donuts outside the street. I honestly can't wait till these fucking neighbors leave. I can't wait. I'll get into that in a little bit. I'm going to actually take a mental note so that I can get into that in a little bit. Fucking irritating. But the management decisions were just weighing on me. What would they be? We're going to be late. I'm always late. we're going to be late. How am I going to handle this? But as it turns out, we took the path and we connected with the subway and we got there and we got there early. So everything worked out okay. We saw Paul Verzey, Joe DeRosa, and Bill Burr at Carnegie Hall. And God damn it, if it wasn't an amazing fucking show. Absolutely fucking hilarious. Every comedian, from Paul Verzey, the opener, the host, I guess, if you want to say, Joe DeRosa, Bill Burr, everybody did a great fucking job. And it was just incredible. They knew the gravity of the venue. And they brought their fucking A game. Bill Burr put on a fucking legendary career performance. Standing goddamn ovation. Standing ovation at the end. The standing ovation happens. I don't get up. I want to take a look at this. I want to see what the energy is in this fucking room. You look around. It's so fucking ornate, Carnegie Hall. Just tiers, and everything's got like super detailed trim, and it's really cavernous, and people are clapping and whooping and hollering, and it's just a thunderous roar. You can't even hear him through the fucking microphone. He's trying to say, you know, thank you, blah, 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 all that bullshit. You can't even fucking hear it. The applause are so fucking thunderous. Absolutely fucking amazing. Just probably the best comedy show I've ever been to. And so now we decide we're hungry. We're going to go get something to eat. And Amanda's taken to Urban Spoon because I have an iPhone. And she likes to fuck around with that app for a while. I guess that was the one of the apps that when you first had an iPhone, you would show everybody this thing. There was that one app where you could play a fucking Beach Boys song into it, and it would tell you exactly what it was, what album or whatever. I don't even know what the fuck that is. Does anybody even give a shit about that? Like, how often do you find yourself hearing something? I gotta remember what the fuck that is. Shit. What is that? Fuck, what is that song? Silent? I don't know. You know, if only I had a phone that I could point at this fucking greasy goddamn fucking speaker and figure out what the fuck it was. Silent Morning. I don't know why that fucking song is in my head. Absolute shit. But then there was the Urban Spoon one. They would show you, oh, look, you could see it's fucking Hysteria by Def Leppard. And then there was Shake It and Get a Meal. Shake It and Find Somewhere You Can Eat. I feel like Mexican. Well, shake your fucking phone. We'll be eating fucking empanadas. It'll be incredible. So she's taken to that. It's a new thing for her, you know. No, this is the first iPhone we've ever owned. And so she's done that. And she put in, I guess, Japanese food. And she's kind of been hankering for some ramen. I guess, you know, this is the thing that is now hot. As hot as cupcakes were for dessert, in 2007? Ramen is now for dinner and lunch. That is the shit. It's the shittiest of food. You could tell people, oh, I had ramen for dinner last night in 2004, and people would pity you. But right now, they think you're a fucking maven of food culture. Oh, we had ramen. I wonder if there was a soft-boiled egg in it. I wonder if it had one of those fucking spirally thing. I don't even know what the fuck those things are. I've had ramen. I've never had a goddamn spiral fucking sugar candy. I don't even know what it is. It looks like some fucking just shit candy that comes in a pack of Mary Jane's. With like the long flat Jolly Ranchers. I don't know what the fuck that thing is, but you see them in pictures of ramen on sites like Food Spotting. And ever since Veal Chop, since we met up with Veal Chop and he ultimately paid for my fucking meal, which I still feel terrible that I haven't been able to pay him back and pick up a tab for him because I haven't hung out with him. Ever since he took Jeff and I to the ramen place, I've kind of been having that same hankering for some goddamn soup as well. So we all went to this to the phone, looked at it, and Amanda picked out a place. Menkui Tay? I never had it. Is it Thai? Is it Tay? I don't give a shit. I don't know. So we located it, and we missed it. We walked right by it. Didn't see it. Walked by it again. And then what's the number? It's 60. It's number 6. Oh, there it is. It says Larman. It said Larman on the fucking place. Menkui Tay on the goddamn Urban Spoon, but the yellow fucking awning says Larman. I've never seen, I don't know if that's the official official goddamn spelling of the word, and Americans have just been duped into calling it ramen because Asians can't fucking pronounce Larman worth the goddamn shit. But they have Larman written on the fucking, the awning. So we go over to the window, and it says, oh, this is Menkui Tay. And we go in, we have a fucking, just an awesome appetizer. These fucking dumplings and shit. Fucking great. We're having a good time. Sitting at the fucking bar, it's packed. People are talking. There's life going on. There's cooking. There are pots that you could boil kindergartners in. 3 feet from my fucking face, just with campfire flames under them. These fucking pans that have hollow handles so that they can handle them with no fucking gloves. These people either have calloused hands, these fucking truck tread hands that feel no heat, or they just have some fucking amazing skill in choosing the hardware that does it can't possibly feel hot. Is what I'm getting at. That's what I'm fucking stumbling through trying to say. The panhandle is not hot. Or it is, and they've just been doing this since they were shit out of their fucking mother's womb and given up to adoption for some rich couple who... They were barren, huh? And so, we had a great meal. The appetizer's fantastic. We order this whatever it is, ramen with the fucking meat and shit in it, bamboo shoots, I don't fucking know. And we're kind of picking at some of the things. We don't necessarily know what we ordered. We just kind of picked something. Sean asked the waiter, Asian gentleman, very nice, good at math, asked him, is the extra spicy ramen, how spicy is that? And the guy kind of closed his eyes a moment and looked down and then regained eye contact with him and said, it is edible. not the thing you want to hear. It is edible. So we all order basically the same fucking thing. And then in comes this guy. This fucking, like, the type of guy you look at and you know he's from Europe. You just look at him and you think, oh, well, this guy's obviously European. He's got, like, round-framed glasses. He's wearing a scarf, for Christ's sakes. Okay? Amanda actually described him best. She said he looked like Joe Pesci from With Honors. Kind of homeless, but kind of well-read at the same time. And he sits right next to Amanda. We're all at this bar, and... friendly smiles and shit. And we start overhearing this. We start hearing people knocking a few back. Getting a little loud behind us. I have no issues with that whatsoever. Except at one point, when we're trying to figure out what the fuck the bamboo shoots in our soup were, we hear, and I was covered with sores. And they told me, my friend... told me she's a doctor. I was covered in sores. Told me just keep washing your hands. That's the best advice I could tell you. She is a doctor. She's the end of her name is PhD, so she's a doctor, and I should wash my hands because staph infection. And I'm hearing all these. I'm hearing sores and being covered with them and staph infection. And I kind of just say, you know, under my breath, I'm like, Jesus, yeah, this is a great conversation to have while I'm, you know, trying to figure out what I'm eating. And the European guy, Joe Pesci from High Honors, looks at us and says, inappropriate conversation. I go, yeah, it's pretty gross, right? He looks at me, he like gives me this steely, like steely eye contact. Just completely, like, just locked in, and says, "The three of us," points to Shawnee Murphy, me, and himself. "The three of us could shut him up." I said, "What?" "The three of us could shut him up, if you want to." I'm like, "Yeah, you go ahead." So he turns around and says, "Excuse me, could you keep it down?" And looks at me for like approval. And I said to him, "Thank you. Thank you." I treated the guy like a fucking hero because he told somebody to be quiet and I wouldn't do it. That's how fucking lame I am. I'm listening to this guy talk about the guy behind me talk about pus and shit leaking out of himself as I'm eating a collagen-y fucking noodles. And I can't bring myself to tell him to shut the fuck up. And then some frumpy European dude does it. And I treat him like he's fucking Audie Murphy. So I guess now the guy shuts up. He listened to him. Like we don't hear shit about sores or, you know, dicks or anything being unwashed or your friend that has a PhD that this guy is now thinking is a medical doctor, and we don't hear anything from him. The guy completely fucking silenced him. It was absolutely amazing. Except for 5 minutes later, the guy started talking again. And now, European guy is visibly agitated. Just visibly agitated. And he excuses himself to the bathroom. And we leave. By the way, this place was like, we overindulged. At this fucking ramen place. We got two orders of the goddamn appetizers, few beers, you know, soup. It was $50. $50 fucking. Absolutely fucking great. And to try and remember what the name of the place was, I looked it up and I saw that there's reviews now, I guess, on Google. They've probably been there for a while. I don't even know. You can review restaurants. And the first review of this fucking place from October 22nd says, "So expensive," number one, in bold. Number two, "Waiter was rude." Number three, "Expensive." They really stressed how fucking expensive it was. You get a goddamn punch bowl of soup for $8. And this is in New York. Kind of fucking cheapskate. It is put off by that so much that they have to quote how expensive it is in a fucking two-sentence review on Google. And then every other fucking place is like, "Oh, you know, low price, huge bowls for an amazing, amazing price, curry ramen is delicious," you know, all these fucking positive comments. And then one fucking asshole says it's overpriced, not worth it. Waiter was rude. Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't get fucking 5-star service from something that amounts to a piece of plywood in front of a stove. I'm sorry that you didn't get that they didn't roll out the fucking red carpet for you. You fucking jerk off. So, as we're leaving, all we can think about is this guy that fucking did nothing, essentially. He basically behaved like a human. He told someone to be quiet. But to us, it just seemed amazing. To me, it seemed amazing. Because I have these dialogues with people without actually involving them. I scream while I'm driving with my windows rolled up at other drivers that irritate me, pedestrians, people on cycles. Again, cycles. Like I'm going to go in summer and fucking Bayern Munich, wherever the fuck, I don't know. Fuck it. I don't necessarily take my argument to the person. I try and diffuse the situation by talking to them in my head and arguing with them in my head or under my breath. But this guy just said, "Could you keep it down, please?" And they did. And so all we could think about is that guy. And it dawned on me, he walked in there and he just ordered stuff. Like, he didn't even look at a menu. In fact, they went to hand him one. He refused it and said, "I know what I want." So I'm thinking this dude this dude is obviously some kind of a spy. We came to the conclusion that he's some kind of a secret fucking agent. He's got the balls to tell an obviously flamingly homosexual man to just be quiet and stop talking about his fucking sores and his bad skin and his diseases. He knows what he wants in some fucking ramshackle noodle hut. And he goes into the bathroom to what? What's he doing there? He's not taking a shit. He's probably got some violin case, is what Shawnee Murphy said. He went back there holding a violin case that he was going to open and pull out some gun that has that's fired with a push button. We're going to walk back past that place when we're done going to wherever we're going after that. And we're just going to see a smoldering ruin and him in his last dying breath. I did that for you. And then the fucking Larman thing falls on him and just shatters his dumb cantaloupe head with his stupid glasses. He was very nice, though. Absolutely very nice. A little disappointing, though, at the end of the night, after the ramen noodle thing. Went to another place that the veal chop. See, veal chop has influenced everything as far as New York City eating. He met Amanda and I. Him and his sister met Amanda and I at Milk Bar. And before he arrived, he basically set it up like, get ready to eat the greatest thing you're ever going to eat. You may have thought you had something great, but you're going to love this. And for whatever reason, I enjoyed it. Amanda didn't. But now, whenever I'm in the city, I want to go to Milk Bar. I want to get one of those compost cookies. I want to have some cereal milk ice cream. I want to experience these things because I don't get to do it. I don't live in the goddamn city. I can't just say, oh, hey, there's a fucking comedy show tonight. Let's just take a quick little train over, be there, have a goddamn fucking encounter with Joe Pesci from High Honors, watch him turn a fucking Asian restaurant into a smoldering ruin, and then go eat a cookie. I can't do that. But this evening, we decided to. So we go. I'm so fucking pumped for this goddamn compost cookie. So pumped. And we're like, oh, Amanda, they have those cookies. And, oh, it's my sister's birthday. This is perfect. We can just buy a little tin of the cookies and give that as a gift. She actually tried the peanut butter one. It was her favorite. That's a great idea. We could do it. It's great. It's the coolest. So we go in there and, we're like, okay, I'll have a canister of your finest cookies. Oh, yeah, we don't have any cookies right now. We're all sold out. All sold out. What do you mean you're all fucking sold? No, we're all sold out. We just about a half hour ago, someone just bought all the cookies. So I'm like, well, what do you have? Like, well, we have pies and we have cake things. Like, I forget what the fuck they were. But she actually said the real word. She's not a bad employee. She knows what they were. I just refused to listen because I didn't give a shit. She also, to be honest, she's not the best of employees because she followed up whatever they were. I don't even fucking know. Cake nuggets or some shit. Fuck them. I don't give a fuck. She said, yeah, they're not my favorite. We have the pies and then the cake shit fucking nugget pieces. And I don't like them. She didn't really say shit nugget pieces, but she sure as fuck said she didn't like them. And so I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I wanted one of these cookies, whatever. Fuck it, I'm going to continue on with the cereal milk ice cream. Well, guess who has come around on the goddamn cereal milk ice cream? Oh, I like it. It's actually very good. I guess I was just tired last time. Now she fucking enjoys it. Now she sees why Veal Chop called it one of the greatest things you'll ever eat. And it is. It's not too fucking sweet. It's cold. It's smooth. It's good ice cream. And it's an unusual flavor. What's not to fucking like? Well, now she enjoys it too. Which means I'm fucked because we're going to only order one every single time. And I'm going to lose upwards of 3 little spoonfuls of that shit. Every time. Because we'll just share it. I can't believe they didn't have the fucking cookies. So we're in there. Amanda gets the piece of the pie or whatever and shares that. We're basically experiencing the candy bar pie at fucking Milk Bar, and it's good. We're just pissed off, and this bitch from behind the counter says, "Oh, you guys are still here. You can come in and sit in the lobby. I mean, you don't have to just stand there." Like, "Oh, thanks. As I'm done with my shit, I can go sit in the lobby like a fucking human. I could sit in a seat and eat my fucking shit. I don't have to eat standing up in a fucking stable." So she ushers me to the to where the lobby is. The woman behind this podium goes, you do realize they're only in the lobby?" "Yes, I know. They're not going anywhere. They're just going to be..." "Okay." And so she takes us around the corner to what is probably the most amazing fucking fireplace of all time. Just this glass aquarium-looking structure that is like the stairs are built onto it. And it's on like this slate ledge. And inside, there's like these almost obsidian-looking stones with flames shooting out of them. It's like an aquarium where the fish are fucking flames and heat. And it's absolutely fucking amazing. And so I sat on the cushions like a complete fucking douche, staring at a fire and marveling. And putting my hand to, it feels warm. Just being a complete fucking idiot. The people that are in there are actually, you know, waiting to eat their meal at whatever that restaurant is. Ma Pesce. I don't know. I don't know how to fucking say it. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to be one of those people who sees a word that is possibly French or possibly some other language and then all of a sudden lose my fucking accent and get tucked away to the fucking farmlands that fucking language is commonly spoken. What really irritates me is on Food Network, Giada, that fucking big mouth bitch with that always feels the need to show her fucking... her tits as she stirs fucking cheese. She'll do that shit constantly. You better hope she uses some fucking chocolate and cheese and not something with an Italian name, an ingredient with an Italian name. "I'm gonna take some chocolate and some mascarpone." Fucking cunt. That shit really irritates me. I don't know why. "Let's stir it into the mascarpone. I'll take some toast and some cornflakes. And what we're going to do is we're gonna actually grind up the cornflakes. And then we're going to take about a cup and a half of mascarpone." Cunt. Well, day one, Bill Burr, Milk Bar, Noodles, possible fucking counter-terrorist. Absolutely amazing. Day two seems like it's going to be a fucking breeze. Amanda has it all planned out. We knew we were going to just make it a couple nights in New York after we found out that, we're going to have to. We're going to have to drive in twice. We're not going to get a hotel room. So Amanda planned it all out. She picked the place we're going to eat and made it somewhere near the venue, the Beacon Theater. First time I was going to ever be there. She picked Shake Shack, burger place. Absolutely fucking amazing. Second time we'd been there. And it's just so fucking good. And what irritates me is that people will go there. And then they feel compelled to tweet about... it's just like, fuck, it tastes like Wendy's. It's like, it's not that great. Why would you wait for this? You know what? You didn't like it? You didn't like it? Who gives a shit? Okay? There's a reason there's a fucking line. It's not just word of mouth that is swamping this fucking place. It's a lot of people on that fucking line that are repeat customers. It's fucking incredible and worth every fucking minute. The fries are always cooked perfectly. The goddamn burger's great. So, you know what? The amount of hate that something has is often a pretty good indication to quality. When you see somebody on Twitter like, "Oh, we went to In-N-Out, it's fucking disappointing. God, what a fuck. I can't believe people actually praise this shit." Yeah, you know why people praise it? Because it's fucking good. I'm sorry you wasted a fucking plane ticket to be bummed out at a burger. You fucking jerk off. Now go cry into your fucking text message. Absolutely fucking infuriating. I wonder how many times I've said that this fucking show. Man, I really get into goddamn just patterns of speech that really suck. I'm sorry if I'm repeating words, and I'm sorry if this shit isn't even interesting. I've never done this, as I said in the beginning of the goddamn show, and I'm giving it a fucking whirl. You don't like it? Well, I'm goddamn sorry. I'm really fucking sorry. Jesus Christ. So Amanda plans out this trip. And the little background is that every time we go to the city, it always seems like, well, we better just kind of stay nearby the path, because otherwise it's going to be a lot of fucking travel, you know, takes forever to get anywhere. And we're not experienced with New York City that much. We're New York City, and I'm not going to fucking say it. I'm going to say rookie. I'm not going to fucking use and cater to you motherfuckers that use noob. I'm sorry. It's not going to fucking be part of my goddamn vocabulary. Fucking, I saw that shit on a commercial for Modern Warfare 3. They're using it now. They're embracing it and trying to make it fucking mainstream. Noob. Go get him, noob. How about you go fucking shut the fuck up? Play your fucking game in your underpants like everybody else. God damn it. So she's got the perfect fucking subway map all set up. Not going to take us long at all. We'll just use the trains. That worked out so well with Bill Burr. We weren't late. We had all these fears. We're going to get, you know, held up, probably not get to see the show because of whatever it said. But no, the trains worked out well, so we're going to use it again. So we get there. The path. We go and we go to take our train. But then we look, after we get off the path, we look, the train we need isn't running for some kind of maintenance. Take this instead. So now we have to go and investigate maps. And we're in the fucking bowels of whatever subway station. Our phones aren't going to work. So we have to go and actually look at the fucking maps. We look at it. We find that, well, we need an uptown train. We need a train that's going to get us around the 70s. And the 2 and 3 are gone. They're being worked on this weekend. It's not... not gonna happen. So we need another train, and I guess we need one to connect to them. It's just a fucking annoyance. Absolutely annoying. I'm not used to it. People that actually live in the city and commute to the city and deal with it are listening to this and probably thinking you're just a fucking pussy. Shut the fuck up and deal with it. Well, I'm sorry. I'm new. I'm a noob. You fucking faggots. So. We stare at the map for a while and figure out, well, the best train for us is the C, because that'll get us to about 75th. So whatever. We wait at the platform. We see an E go by. Nice new fucking train. It's got that digitized map that tells you what's happening in up to like 20 stops, tells the exact street, the trains that you can transfer there, and it's such a nice looking train, shiny. The ads on it are new looking, not like faded or ripped or drawn on. And then another E comes by. Oh wow, look at that, same one. Fuck, how long have we been waiting for this C? And then I see this train, this old fucking train, and I notice the rust on it. And I notice that the windows all have fucking like the thick Sharpie writing on it. And it's the sea. And the car in front of us is populated. It's populated. And I don't like the looks of the car. So I say to Amanda... different car. She doesn't hear me. Or hears me and doesn't know what I'm referring to, so she ignores me, walks right onto it, and sits down. And I sit next to her, and we're looking across from the fucking goody mob sitting there. I don't even know what the fuck they were saying. But three or four black dudes, the one in the middle, if you remember, there was a show on Fox called Rock, with Charles S. Dutton. The father on that show was the one in the middle. And he... Leave my town, motherfucker, goddamn $20, and then I'm gonna do that. And the guy on the left kind of looked like me. I don't know, like Andre 3000. Hair all fucking askew. And eyes at half-mast. Obviously, either starving to death, crazy, or on some kind of substance. Mixed bag. Pull two out of that fucking hat if you want. Pull all three. Doesn't matter. Could apply the same way. And he got $20, and you don't motherfucking tell me, and this nigga is doing this motherfucking thing. And then next to him is a guy that didn't look like he was in the group. Black dude, sunglasses, baseball cap. Looked relatively normal. Well, I'm going to just call him Rock and Andre 3000. Rock just stops talking out of nowhere. And he goes, hey, the white motherfuckers, and then what they gonna do? I heard white motherfuckers, and then, and what they gonna do? And he stopped talking, and he kind of looked at us. And then he looked back at the other guy, Andre 3000, and just started laughing. And Andre 3000, and I'm not even fucking kidding. You got the right stuff, baby. Love the way you turn me on. That's the jam they gonna fucking in. That's what they gonna be fucking too. You got the right stuff. That's what they be fucking too. Them white motherfuckers be fucking to that. I'm gonna bet you $20 motherfucking dollars. Oh my God. The longest 5 minutes of my life. Just looking around. Nobody sees this as out of the ordinary. And to be honest, if I saw this on a television show, as a depiction of the New York subway system, I would say, well, this is just an obvious thing. This is the scene that would seem completely not out of place. This is what you would see. That is where you would be. This is why you don't go on the train, kids. That's why I told you, don't go uptown on a train. The C train, are you out of your fucking mind? Did you see the rust? Oh. And I'm convinced they're talking about me. And all of a sudden, the guy that didn't look like he was a part of their group chuckled and go, but how come you don't check your email, though? Out of nowhere. And they all three of them start laughing. And I can only assume that that's some kind of impression of what a white person would say if you didn't have the mastery of sounding like a white person. Like if you had never seen a deaf comedy jam and didn't have an idea that white people should be like this. Absolutely frightening. So Amanda decided that she was going to do a new maneuver called the fake stop, I guess. The minute this train stopped, get out, move up two cars, get in and pray that Tribe Called Quest isn't on there ready to make fun of you. And it worked out. We got a car full of elderly people that had probably done the same thing two stops ago. Got out and, there was one thing, though, about the last car. This is just how it is. I mean, I'm not exposed to it. This is just how it is. There's weird people on the train. Not a story that you're going to tell. People that experience it every day are like, yeah, great, great. Yeah, and the wind blows. Okay, yeah, whatever. Amanda was sitting down on the train, and there was an Asian guy, a small, like, 4-foot Asian guy, holding on to the bar next to her. Like, he was in next to the sliding doors. She was on the very last seat, and he's holding on to the bar next to her head and leaning against the door. And he's got his hands at face level, at mouth level. And periodically, like every 30 seconds throughout this train ride, he would just go, like, if if I could make a sound to kind of illustrate how he was opening his mouth, he would go like a big wide yawn. And then he would slowly bring his mouth down onto one knuckle and start nibbling at a well-worn scab. And he was just slowly chewing it. Like he was almost having rough mouth sex with his fucking scab on his knuckle. Just inches away from Amanda's head. And Amanda had no fucking idea. And I didn't tell her until like the next day. Because I didn't want to say, hey, watch out, and have her fucking turn her head and bump her fucking nose into the dude that was chewing on his hands. Absolutely fucking crazy. But I was, you know, I was looking at it in disbelief, but completely ready to just mush his face to the ground. Because he was a little slight Asian person, but just bizarrely opening his mouth. Like actually in True Blood, when the vampires finally reveal their fangs, it's almost like they buck back, open their mouths, and the fucking teeth pop out. Well, he did that every single time and started slowly just gnawing on his fucking hand. Absolutely fucking frightening, disgusting, but still nowhere near as scary as the black person singing New Kids on the Block because there were white people in front of him. So glad that we were not on that car for that long. But if only she listened to me when I said, next car, not that car, we wouldn't have had this story to tell. And we wouldn't have had the fear of being raped. We weren't, thankfully. But that's just a thing that white people have. Like women. Women go around and they fear being raped by everybody. White people just go around and fear being raped by the nearest black person. That's just how it is. But yeah, don't hate on Shake Shack. And to be honest, Louis C.K., I've seen him several times, and he's been fucking incredible. But it seems that every time I see him, he's a little worse. I don't know what it is. It could be overexposure. It's what Shawnee Murphy is suggesting. It could just be that maybe, you know, he's done with the jokes at the time that I'm hearing him. He resets his whole act every year. Anybody who's knows anything about him knows that. He actually said explicitly at this show, this is the last time I'm doing these jokes. I'll never do them again. And it's the last show of the year. So, I mean, he seemed like he was off his game. He just kind of waddled. And I don't want to say waddled, but he kind of just trudged out to the microphone. And no opening act. People are still filing in. He's commenting on it. And it's just a real slow start, disjointed. Just an offset for him. And it was kind of upsetting. I don't know if it was because it was so late and, you know, I was honestly starting to feel pretty fucking tired, but at one point he started doing like injecting these like what if type bits. And he's like, here's something I thought of. What if a baby was born with like a huge beer can sized dick? And okay, there's a premise, but like it ends up that he's talking to the baby and then the baby, you know, wants to have sex or something and because he's got a huge dick, I guess. And he says, no, you can't. And the baby cries and that's the end. And I'm thinking like you just told one of the greatest fucking jokes ever about your dead grandmother. And now you're talking, now you're trying to fucking make something out of some dumb thought about a baby with a big dick. You didn't need to do an hour and a half if you're deciding to fill up extra time with that shit. I don't know. I don't think it's because he's gotten too big or he's gone commercial or anything like that. I don't think it's that. I just think it was his last fucking show of the year. And I'm also coming off of seeing Bill Burr at fucking Carnegie Hall, absolutely pumped up and ready to deliver and succeeding at doing so. Any performance would have paled in comparison to that. Definitely check out Bill Burr if you get the chance. He is at the top of his fucking game. I can't say enough about the fucking guy. I enjoy his podcast. It's one of the few that are on Heroes Talk recommendations. That's heroestalk.com/recommended. Up there with the Davey Mac Sports Program. Fucking Adam Carolla Show. Mark Maron Show. Just go there and check all those things out. Very good. Had an eventful weekend. I had some fun. I hope you had a good time listening to this. I hope you enjoyed it. This is something I'll do from time to time. Just for a change of pace. If I ever do anything, that is. I'm not going to do something like this about my dumb fucking work week. Well, today, I added a new error to the software. Yeah. Well, I mean, they had entries invalid, but they didn't have one where you could specify what the entry was. So I figured, why not just put one in there and parameterize? Okay, I'd never do that. Absolutely not. But if I do something that I think is worth recounting, worth going over, maybe I'll do this. Just to hopefully keep something fresh. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. I appreciate it. Please, ICU2. That's ICU2.com. And don't forget to visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. Click like, leave a comment. Let me know what you think of the show. Good or bad, I don't give a shit. I want to hear all criticism, good or bad. I do this because I enjoy it. Hope you do the same, and I want to get better. Oh, and also, I read your Facebook comments when I'm shitting at work. Gives me something to do, something to reply to, while I'm expelling waste. DJNewStyleShow.com. Subscribe. Subscribe on iTunes. Rate. Do whatever it is you gotta do. I hope you all have a good weekend, a good week, a good month, a good life. Eat my shit. Suck my dick. We coming for all you motherfuckers. Thank you.